Gay or homosexual, there's a train derailing, there's a train derailing, and due to the palpitation, due to the hurry, and so many other things that we can be able to talk about. But let us name those who were coming today, I hope we met, and those who really were around, hope also you are able to do what for you. Let me outline before I start with my lecture. It came that definitely it has been a challenge in a number of ways by asking the assets of the people of the Republic being vandalized, touched, and other related things. We have lost one of the leaders, women as a minister at Namulewa. I'm going to request all of us that we remind ourselves by making sure that we stand for 1 minute and that's in memory of Comrade Mekwalabo Minister at Namulewa. Thank you very much, may the soul rest in peace. Let me welcome the chairperson of the board of PRASA and the entire board of PRASA, the CEO and the officials from PRASA who are here today. We have to call this urgent meeting in view of the fact that we have seen things happening, and we felt that before we even go into the annual report, we need to acquaint ourselves with what exactly is happening in us. In the words of the S1 President Thabo Mbeki, he once asked in a meeting, "Is the game?" I don't know the meaning of that, but I want to ask if the AAP in class, you will better understand that. It's been a challenge, it's been traumatic, it's been so many things. When we had a meeting with the Police Portfolio Committee and the Minister of Police, part of the things which were highlighted, when it comes to challenges which are there within the ambit of rape, a number of things were raised from the cameras not working to the appointees who are dealing with security not upbeat about what they are supposed to be doing, and a plethora of things which the police raised in our presence as a portfolio commission of transformers. Today, as we're preparing this meeting, we felt that maybe we should invite the police portfolio committee, but we felt that we have had. There's not going to be a new story that will be coming from the police angle. At the same time, we felt that we need to rail safety regulator, because now the battlegrounds are within the entities of transport. And we also believe that we will start with you and get to understand what is it that you are doing or what is it that you are not doing, which actually will be able to when we call other people to account, then we are able to say these are the critical things that we have heard from PRASA that they are or are not doing. Taking you down the memory lane, in 2014, when we were newly inaugurated members of Parliament, we were told a very good story. A good story of modernization, revamping of Fairway, refurbishing of station platforms, and so forth and so forth. Which actually was the story that we all applauded that this what we believe should be able to happen in terms of service delivery. In 2015, then comes another story. Everywhere there is corruption, and everywhere corruption, where it happens, it must be dealt with. But the modernization program was thrown out of the window. The focus was on corruption, corruptible, and all those which actually took the center stage. And as that was taking the center stage, vandalism was continuing competing with corruption. Because this, to us as a portfolio committee, are the things which actually we have seen happen in the past 3 years. When Vexman is changing the corruptors and the corruptees, vandalism is also changing. And our trains are being vandalized, stealing of cable theft, vandalizing cameras and all those things. These are the things which have been happening in the past 3 years. Over and over, Dr. Kokopoli is there, we kept on saying, as you're dealing, we are happy you're dealing with the corruption. Where is service delivery in this, at the center of the biggest scheme of things? We never saw anything. Advocate, now Judge Makubele, also came in, and we also said to him, we would want you to deal with other things. But for us to move South Africa forward, service must be at the center. We cannot talk about growing the economy where there is reduction in terms of commuter ferrying items. We went to try for things, Salt River, that area. Then there was 187 coaches which were there. We went to Bramfontein, can't remember the coaches in Bramfontein. But the long and short is that the word communication, when we were talking to Advocate Makubele then, we said, refurbish these coaches that have been vandalized because it will assist in terms of making sure that there are people that adds on to what you're having. In October last year, to be precise, the then Minister Maswangani came into the meeting and highly excited we were because the Minister Maswangani indicated that there will be trains, new trains that will be delivered to the Western Cape. We still have to come and celebrate those trains to the Western Cape. We still have to see them. Don't hide from us when those trains have been delivered. We want to go and be part of rejoicing that the trains have been delivered in the Western Cape. I don't remember specifically the number that Minister Maswangani indicated. But that's the year that Rosari Demokanya party, Rosari Demokanya is the religion, or difficult enough. Probably you tell us that they have arrived, we were not invited when they came in here. But checking with the commuters, Richard, I always am there by your train station, Cape Town train station, and I'm always in Bellevue station to just look at you look there, you go back home, and then your heart is bleeding. We still have to see those trains arriving. when the new group CEO and the new board led by Kanisile Goyama Kanisi came in, part of the things that this portfolio committee said is, we would wish that you bring on track modernization and service delivery so that our people don't hang out of the train, they don't ride the train on board because it's very dangerous. But you can hardly wait. Because the more you try to do things, the more they are competing with you. Paying trains every day, delaying trains, this is the worst of all of us. Especially this customer. So we called you to say, we know the stories of, we don't want bedtime stories here today. We want no bedtime stories, but we want actionable programs which actually be able to lead us to solve the impact that is there. And once you have been able to make the presentation, we definitely will be able to engage with your presentation and be able to say, indeed, it looks like there is action which is going to be taking place. If the action or a plan is really not something to write home about, definitely, we will not be pleased as this portfolio committee. We know that there is vandalism. We know that there is sex tables. We know that there is reduction in terms of the coaches that are particularly in Gauteng and the Western Cape. We are very, very much aware of the fact that there are certain things that we are doing in terms of security apparatus and all those things we are aware of, because this to us as a portfolio committee, we take it that this is what we have been hearing from Natikena to Ndikaya Zide to Kromet Mulepo to Ndikaya to Ndwalo to the Dikaya, now we talk. We have those stories. And therefore, we want to hear something new that we can be able to write home about. You know, in foyers, like in Montana, Nakikena, Dikaya, Nitoalo, Dikaya, Chromed, Sito. 7 years. I say 7 years because these are the 7 CEOs who arrived and went, and all of them were telling us one and the same story. And Kami, I know what they're made of. Mamakala, I know what they're made of. I'm seeing the girls. Jenny, I know what you guys can be able to deliver. And you're standing on the shoulders, giants, of these giants who are part of this team. Without much ado, that was welcome. Can you see the Lekoyam? That was welcome to you and your team. That was welcome to you and your team. I am going to request you, Chairperson of the Board, to make a presentation or to get support. You will be doing presentation, and then we will be able to see whether we ride on or we will be so soused by the input that you have given that you just have to say thank you and then you go home. Let me also welcome the Department of Transport, led by the COO, and welcome the community members who are here. I've seen you. Masuku again. You are all happy to welcome. We also welcome the media, because without them, we wouldn't have known that the agreement every day. Without them, we wouldn't have seen those trends as whether they are untouched or they are old, because that's another story that because this is old, that is why the Chinese, where is modernization at the center of all these things, of all these old trends which are happening? You welcome Mayor Khalil, the stage is yours.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to yourselves and to the honourable members, the Department of Transport, the several stakeholders represented here. Chairperson, we attempted today to bring as much as possible of our board members, not just because we wanted a trip to Cape Town, but I think we do need to give the portfolio committee the confidence that everybody is pleased with this, with the problems that face us, to demonstrate that we are all putting our shoulders to the wheel to ensure that it happens. And maybe for the purpose of the committee members who have not had an interaction, I'd just like to introduce the members of the board who are here. Starting on my left, Mr. Godisam Desi, who is a member of the board and also chairs our SVIP committee. Ms. Doris Tsepe, who follows Director Jenny Schneider. Director Jenny Schneider also chairs our SHEC committee, before I bite my tongue on the acronyms of it, but that's our safety committee. Director Matala, who also chairs our Human Capital Management Committee. Director George, I believe is to her left. Director Sishi, Dr. Sishi there, we also lay claim to him today. So he can do his own schizophrenia of jumping between the board and the Department of Transport. But we obviously have apologies from our chair of Audit and Risk, who was present at the last appearance we made, Mr. Samuel Taluba. And I also think it is important that I also note the apology of the acting CEO for Rich, which I did call the chairperson about, because that is a person who is very key to today's meeting. But to explain that, as we are all aware that over the weekend we spent the Friday meeting with the others and even going to talk on the matters of our license, on the foundation of the license. So the judge has ordered that the key staff be present this afternoon in his chamber and also on Thursday. So we had to divert some of the staff to some of the executives to that, so that we are compliant. We also have apologies from Mr. Nazir Ali, a member of the board. The CEO is also present, and when he starts speaking, he will introduce the executive team who are here. Chairperson and honorable members, we welcome and really appreciate the engagement we are having with yourselves today. Mm-hmm. You would have seen that we sent you a presentation prior to our meeting. You will also notice that when we do present on the screen, it doesn't follow page by page the presentation that you saw. And the reason we did that is that we believe that we do need to have a frank conversation with yourselves. Actually, if we had it our way, we'd put the presentations aside and just talk. Because the matters that we have been encountered with once we were appointed to GRASA require more than just paper. They require more than just submission. They are matters of national interest. They are matters that affect the very DNA of the passengers of this country, ensuring that they have trained, that get them to work on time, that get them to work safely, and get them to work in a dignified and humane way. Passengers deserve nothing less than that. And we would be amazed if we don't say to you in the few months that we've been here, there are times that we feel we have made 5 steps forward in terms of progress, and then we take 3 or 4 backwards. Not because we are going out of the way to do that, but because the environment around us just does that. Chairperson, it would not be correct for us to not say that we have been frustrated about the stability at BRCA. There are many matters that we'd like to bring the portfolio committee, take the portfolio committee into our confidence, but outside the cameras, not because we have anything to hide, but because initial analysis and diagnosis of the matter does point out to the fact that there are bigger factors at play. And what we do not want to have is the headlines running around and to some extent even alerting people to some of the things that we are discovering are happening at BRCA. Not only from internal people, but also from people who have left BRCA, who are determined to derail us at whatever cost. But as I said, I don't want that to be the headline tomorrow. So I hope that at some stage the chairperson and the portfolio committee will allow us to privately go into a lounge and start sharing this with them, because we will not get to the bottom of the problem until we do deal with those. But having said that, we have a task ahead of us. And from the last time that we appeared at the portfolio committee, our main task has been to stabilize BRCA, to ensure that the lights are on, to ensure that the trains are running, to ensure that people are coming to work and doing so every day and delivering on what they are being paid for every day. The CEO can remind me afterwards, but it is also a fact that there are many people who come to work and are not doing anything. It is also a fact that there are people who choose just not to come to work because they either think, what am I doing when I get there, or that the culture has just enabled them to do that. That they don't do what they are supposed to do, and they don't, yet they expect to get paid every month. And that is a big problem for the CEO and his executive, which means that they have to be carrying many more people who are being paid to do jobs that they are not doing. And we, in the past few days, I have reached out to leadership of labor to say that we need to have certain conversations with them, as they do represent members who are there. But I always say that before a person becomes a member of a labor union, they are my staff first. So a labor union would not have members unless they were BRCA employees. So we actually have to be joined at the hip with labor to ensure that we are all working together to make sure that BRCA thrives rather than being adversarial with each other. So when we last appeared here, we really were starting off fresh, and we were just a few weeks, if a month, into being appointed, and everything was falling apart. The reports hadn't been submitted, and the parliament was rightfully concerned about what is even happening in BRCA. We spent the past couple of months ensuring that our statutory matters are in order, while also trying to understand the mammoth task that we are faced with. Since our last appearance, we have completed and submitted the 2016-17 annual report. Last week was the deadline for the submission of 2017-18. We are just dotting some I's. We have asked the department for extension so that together with the AG we can ensure that as we submit to Parliament, we are submitting the true faith of what the organization is. I know honourable members may think or may feel too little, but for us to be able to in the past 6 months to bring literally three financial years to bed and to ensure that those financials are signed off have taken a lot of commitment and long hours for members of the board and the executive led by the CEO. We also, when we left Parliament at our last appearance, committed ourselves to developing and implementing the turnaround plan. We have spent lots of time and effort into putting together a get-on-track rescue plan, which we have developed, which we have had discussions with the department as well as the minister, and at the appropriate time we would then come to Parliament. Honourable Chair, some of the matters that you raised in terms of previous boards came here and said, here are beautiful trains. They will be rolled out in this time frame. They are covered in the turnaround plan as to where we are and how we intend to fast track and get a number of those onto the train, onto the rail. We are, unless things change in terms of diaries, we are quite pleased that in the next 1.5 weeks on the 25th, the Minister and the President will launch the Ibela factory, and that when the CEO speaks, he'll speak to some delivery times instead of in terms of trains that being rolled out. CEO, I hope you will just touch on some of the testing that we are doing to ensure that to give the portfolio committee the comfort that indeed it's not just on paper. There are definite plans. As board members, we have gone to the Kibela factory. We have visited many sites at Plaza. We have engaged with employees. We have undertaken roadshows where we have gone out to speak to employees of Plaza. First and foremost, to understand the problem from the people who work it every day. But secondly, to also make employees part of the solution. I think we often hear that boards come in and think that they know everything and they are masters of everything and they don't ever deal with the people who do the work on an everyday basis. And because of this, that we are able to say that we know that there are people who are working and we know that there are people who are not working because we have gone on the ground to live people and get all this information. Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson, you rightfully speak about corruption at Plaza, and we are not going to sugarcoat it and give it another name. In the past, there has been corruption, there has been corruption, there has been corruption. There are reports that have been compiled, and as you rightfully say, some of them were sitting on the shelf, and nothing being done about them. So later on in the presentation, we will give some actions in terms of disciplinary measures that are taking place, that some are in the public domain, but I would like to say up front, before we get to that stage, that it is not a policy of the board to try disciplinary hearings in the public space. Employees also have rights as far as labor relations go. And once employees have been charged, they are given an opportunity of a fair hearing. So we are not happy to then sit and dissect each and every matter of discipline that has been put through. But we will give you time frames. We will tell you that processes have started, and we will tell you time frames by which we expect them to have been concluded. But we will be unable to then say, so and so is charged with this, so and so is charged with that, because once people have been given charges, there's a lot of to and fro between themselves and their attorneys and our attorneys that goes on, that then determines, and we don't want to jeopardize processes because we have then chosen to try or to discipline employees via the media. But we will give a report on that. Another matter that is of key importance at BRASA, as I said when I started out, is stability. And there can be no stability unless there are the leadership in place, positions are filled, vacancies are filled. And we will give an update on that, this process is underway in terms of at least the first layer of management, and this process should be completed by the end of November 2018. But should committee members want us to give more details on that, we will do that as well. I did say, Chairperson, that we have developed a get on track rescue plan because we believe that we could actually be drowned in fixing the past and not looking forward as to what will this rail service look like in 1 year, in 2 years, in 5 years, and in 20 years. And it is for that reason that we developed the get on track rescue plan. So that while we are correcting a lot of the wrongs and the ills of the past, but we are also ensuring that BRASA stays stable, BRASA is able to pay its bills, BRASA is able to deliver its service every day. I have already said that this plan has been presented to the Department of Transport as well as Treasury and presented to the Minister. I should also apologize for the Director who was unable to join us today. And the reason we are doing that is that we are fixing what is broken while improving what is working, and at the same time ensuring that we take advantage of the technology, of the methods and everything that we can do to ensure that our grandchildren, I don't even say our children because I'm a gogo now, that our grandchildren do ride, do have transport to get to wherever they want to get, and that it is world class. In a quest to mobilize that, as I said, we undertook roadshows and met with staff in the region, and sometimes we came out of those roadshows quite exhausted because of the information that we were receiving from staff, because of the try and the plea for staff that they are part of the solution. You know, these are the problems. This is where we see it. At some of the roadshows, the staff said, please, we don't want to have this conversation in the presence of management because we know that we are going to be victimized when we get back to the workplace. And we gave staff the opportunity to speak to the board without management present. And as I say, we need to have a lounge conversation because we would be horrified at some of the the matters that staff have brought out. But we are also proud to say that coming out of that, we have gone back with action points. And at appropriate time, and sometimes probably in the presentation that the CEO makes, we will say, in certain regions we have intervened, this is what we have done, this is what we have done. We can expect that many people will want to take us to court, Honorable Chairperson and members, because people have just been so used to doing things the way that they want to do, and they will want to delay us as much as possible. But in some instances, when a manager is identified as being a big part of the problem, we have said, step aside, so that we can allow people who want to do it to do it, and we will deal with that through a process. So, and we know that when that happens to people sometimes, they write to Parliament and complain that we are treating them unfairly. But we can assure you that it is with a proper reason, it is with proper background, and when that comes to you and you ask us to account, we will account. None of these board members come here with an agenda or come with a preconceived idea of who they must remove from the system. So we only do it because there is a reasonable reason to do it. And by also undertaking these road shows from the both sides, it was also intended to instill a positive organizational culture that will contribute to the plaza that we all want. To say to staff, we are all together in this and we all want you to be part of the solution. We have made a commitment as this board that we want to leave plaza better than the way we found it. And this does mean we have to work extra hours to do that. It does mean that we will have to sometimes be unpopular. We are not here for a popularity contest. And it does mean that we have to give key stakeholders such as yourself and our shareholders the comfort that every day there is something that we can sign off to demonstrate that we have made a difference. Some of the stakeholders around this table will say that we have engaged with them and met with them. Precisely because we recognize that it is not a solution that will come only from us, it is internal as well as external. Some of the interactions may not always be what the stakeholders, or they may not reach where the stakeholders want us to reach at that particular time. But the important thing is that we are engaging, we are committed to working together with various stakeholders, and we will listen to them and hear what their input is in this regard. So, Chairperson, you have touched on areas of service delivery, and we are very conscious of that. And for us, when you say service delivery, it means we must stabilize, it means we must make it function. It means we have had to go into the policies of PRASA to diagnose what is it in the workplace of PRASA that makes it so difficult for people to actually do this service delivery. At an appropriate stage, I would invite some of the chairs of the board committee to just give a bit of a paragraph on what they were faced with when they got to PRASA and the work that they have done to ensure that the enablers that ensure that these processes will flow, that ensure that service delivery will take place, have to happen. SCM policies, as an example, literally an area that enables people to order pass, that enables people to just get the tools that they need. That was not in place when we came in. And we can take it for granted and say this institution has been functioning for many years. Those are things that should be in place. But the reality is that they were not. And the committee chaired by Mr. Vesey has spent nights and days. And by the way, it is also a recommendation out of the derailed report that said go and fix the SCM policy. So basically the entity was paralyzed because it can't procure. And we are pleased to say that probably at our next board meeting in the next couple of days, we will adopt and approve so that people can start doing well. But in the meantime, within the limitations of the law and what the law enables us to do, the CEO will report that we have been able to proceed on certain areas so that work does happen. That is just an example. So that we are able to deploy resources. So that we are able to deliver on those paths that cause trains to come to it and still if there are no paths. So Chairperson, just as an example of having to bend the reed in some instances to ensure that we get to do the work that we are required to do. I would be amiss if I hand over to the CEO without talking about the past 3 days and the challenges that we have had in the RSR. And sometimes the truth that goes out there is that we want to just get away with manner, that we don't have a due consideration of the passengers that have to be on the train every day. And I suspect around the table many honorable members will want to say, why did you go to court? The fact of the matter, honorable chairperson and members of the portfolio committee, is that if we had not taken the steps that we took to intervene, on Monday, yesterday, when passengers get to the station, to get on a train and go to work, and they don't find a train because the whole country, the suspension of the license meant that the whole country would come to a standstill. What this meant is that passengers would get very angry, and passengers would, as we have seen in many areas, were likely to have banned trains, were likely to have banned and destroyed stations, were likely to have attacked management, were likely to have gone out into the community and gone on a riot. And the one and only reason that RASFA did go to court was so that we can avert that national disaster, because it has happened all over the country. At some stage in the presentation, we will go into the details of why we believe that we are doing what we need to do in terms of compliance to the license that was awarded to us a few months ago. We accept that we are not perfect. We are work in progress. However, it cannot be said that we have not done anything, and we therefore use the court as a way to remedy our problem. So with that introduction, Chairperson and Honourable Members, I'd like to hand over to the CEO, who will then go into detail on the questions that you asked us in your letter of invitation. And as appropriate, we will keep on giving him support. Thank you, Chairperson, for listening to me.
Good morning to the Chairperson of the Federal Committee and all the Honourable Members. My colleagues from the DOC and the Rail Safety Regulator, as well as the colleagues from CASA. I would like first of all to introduce the officials of CASA who are here with us. First of all, we have Mr. Richard Walker, who is the regional manager for Cape Town. Mr. Joseph Masura, the head of the security. Jose Nakane, who is the officer in the office of the GCO. With Dr. Mandisa Mugwena, who is basically the strategic advisor to the GCO. Dr. Sipho Sithole from the corporate strategy. And Mr. Lizzie Hayes, who is the company secretary. In terms of the presentation, we are guided largely by the brief that was provided to us by the portfolio committee. And we therefore cover an update on our operations, an update on commercial safety, strategy to deal with the banning of trains, an update on RSR matters, and lastly conclude with an update on disciplinary matters. With regard to the rail performance, I'm not going to bore you with the largely in terms of the history and also what are some of the challenges. But I will do so on a tertiary note simply to illustrate what really is the context that we are basically dealing with. The issues that we have summarized basically are related to the nature of the problems that are articulated there, that really we have a declining service at all times, whether it's in terms of availability, whether it's the numbers that we are servicing, the on-time performance issues and so on, which leads to obviously lower customer service levels. As part of the reasons, we also go to the details why we are at a stage where we are. And largely is the fact that from a rolling stock point of view, we have 175 sets available nationwide, where the requirement is really to have about a minimum of 258. We have had a greater challenge with regard to the availability of spare room to aid of the system, but also challenges in respect of the SPM cancellation of tenders have largely contributed to the challenges that we are facing. But we are also again returning to the open system, which has led to the risk of theft and vandalism. And in this respect, we are therefore seeing an increase in the destruction of assets, including the banking of the trade. With regard to intervention, we thought that we need to be quite focused and targeted, given the complexity of the challenges that we are facing. One of the interventions is, as we indicated, to ensure the number of claims, because this is very important in terms of enabling us to address the delays of accounting, but also the fact that the number of customers, you know, are unable to use our services adequately. Here, the emphasis has been on unblocking all SMM-related constraints that were imposed on the organization. We are therefore increasing now, as we speak, the recovery of coaches through ad hoc contracts. And in this regard, we have already appointed contractors who are working on the coaching of the team. But secondly, we have unlocked the issue in relation to sales by basically procuring the necessary contractors so that we can control. Here, what is critical is that some of the things get actually unsaved in our efforts, even for little things such as, having to get traction motors and so on and so forth. We are also focusing on procurement in relation to and I think this is in response to the call that was made by the Control Committee that we must, as much as possible, try and decentralize the procurement, especially of critical components at the level of the region. So that is also accompanied by reprioritization of the budget, and those budgets will be given to regions to focus on issues that are central to their own operations as well. With regard to the coaching on the recovery, we are now sitting with a situation where we have planned 700 coaches for this financial year. 244 are work in progress, and 199 have already been actually procured. It takes an average of 2 to 3 months basically to refurbish a coach. But what we have done here is to talk to all the service providers to look at the accelerated program so that they can actually do more coaches than what was initially allocated. There's a performance system that is in place for those who do better, they can be allocated for coaching. But also this is accompanied by a stricter quality assurance so that the coaches that we receive are also able to withstand the test of time in terms of their functionality. With regard to, we also recognize that we need to focus on specific dynamics in each and every sort of region of our operation. With regard to Western Cape, our focus is on the critical line, which is the line that is in red. The critical line is our focus because over 60% of the commuters within Western Cape use that line. And this is a line where, at the moment, our trains are moving at about 30 kilometers per hour, which caused enormous delay, but also a lot of frustration for our commuters. The recovery in this regard is undertaken in a number of stages. The first one is on the Nyanga substation, where we are basically repairing that substation. And we are expecting that by June at least next year, we would have completed the entire work. It has taken us to redesign that substation in order to make sure that it also accommodates more energy. And in that way, we are able to increase the capacity of the number of trains that can be run within that section. We will also be waiting for choosing the higher meter line as well. And in fact, this will be done within the next 12 months. We want to underscore that although we are targeting 12 months, we are also putting in place other measures to accelerate that even within 8 to 10 months. The second intervention is around the construction of a wall to protect the corridor. Here we are not using your normal palisade fencing or brick wall, but we are using another technology which has been tested here in Western Cape and has found to be quite effective. And this is the sort of technology that we want to roll out throughout all strategic corridors where safety issues and vandalism have actually been a major issue. In this regard, we are targeting to basically start the work because we have already procured the contractor to commence with the work. And again, here we are working with the province to look at ways in which we can assist the province and the region in particular to find ways in which we can release resources at national level for purposes of focusing on unique sort of circumstances of the region. The third component relates to the reinstatement of the water level and the substation. This facility indicated really within this corridor most of the challenges in the vandalism of substations and even signaling. That's why we are really focusing on those issues. And the targets are obviously for December 2019. But for this signaling, we are looking at also December 2019. However, we will have other mechanisms to assist in terms of ensuring that trains are moving at a faster speed than the sort of restrictions that have actually been imposed. Still on Cape Town, we can emphasize as well that we have actually entered into an agreement with the city of Cape Town and the province of Western Cape, in particular the Department of Transport, with a view to try and address security-related matters. And in this regard, the charter has now contributed 16 million towards that project. However, I want to also emphasize that this is one of many initiatives that we are actually implementing with other sister organizations and stakeholders in order to address these issues. With regard to recovering the services in Gauteng, Gauteng has had the biggest or the highest number of migrant organizations. And this therefore contributes to a lot of what we have done now as part of the modernization program is that we are installing a signaling which is done by the Siemens in that region, and we are sitting at 71.9% completion rate as against our planned target of 82.6%. The reason why this target is not being met is because as we install new signaling, there are people who try and fill it. In some instances, they do succeed. But what we are now doing is to make sure that as we install signal, we also put in place security measures so that there's high visibility on the lines that we have installed. The second part is that we have identified eight centralized traffic control centers across the whole of Gauteng, and we have now begun to install or migrate and commence with the Gauteng control center, which is now operated from the Gauteng National Center. And I think this is one of the biggest sort of achievement in terms of the signaling with respect to Gauteng. And I'm attempting to indicate that last week we also saw an accident in the Pandrivens station. But the good thing is that it has often yesterday, which is on Sunday, we have now commissioned a new signaling system, which basically will assist a great deal in reducing the manual authorization in that area. With Gauteng, really, we have a challenge whereby manual authorization has increased to about 98,000 per month, which obviously is a major risk factor. And we will also deal with that when we deal with the conditions of the community. For KZN, really, there are two major issues, apart from other generic issues that affect other regions, such as availability of training and coaching. The first one is that there was a line that was washed away by the flood. And that happened, I think, in about 2017. That line has been a major sort of stumbling block to servicing within Kenya. But the second one is that we have a speed restriction on the line that is owned by Transnet between Devon and Ketterich, as well as between Devon and Stanley region. So we have now succeeded in appointing Transnet as a service provider to recover the flight. And we are expected to finish this work by July next year. Secondly, Transnet has also started sending its own resident engineer with a view to duplicate the lines between Devon and Stanley and those between Lab and Faculty. The significance of the duplication is that it has been a major contributor in reducing the life cycle on the field for our testing space. So, and really this is helping us greatly to address those challenges. For Eastern Cape, we have one locomotive in operation as opposed to nine. What we have now since that is that we have assault nine locomotives from Kansas. All that we are now doing is to meet one of the treasury requirements, which is to test the market whether the price that Kansas is charging us is fair and competitive. And this process is actually expected to be completed at the end of October. And this will assist a great deal in terms of increasing the mobility of the people of the city. At the generic level, we have other high level incentives, which is basically to, on a map-to-map basis, making sure that train sets are available at 100% configuration, which is a press policy. But also to increase the number of trains, as we indicated, from 177 to 258. But overall, with all these initiatives, our aim is to improve our overall on-time performance to about 38% by the end of the year. And this will also contribute in reducing train cancellation, but equally to make sure that our passengers are safe and there's information available with regard to the information for the commuters. On the rolling stock capacity, the here we are actually indicating how many coaches are in service and how many are top service crew by the and basically this really indicates that we have had a fair share of the capacity. And there's a big push to make sure that there's more ability for you. Again, with regard to metro service performance, we can see that the service has actually been declining, as you can see, the tests that are available in many ways far less than what is actually required. And this actually contributes to the average duration of delays increasing, for example, in South Bend by 43%, and in fact in Kensington by 44% on average. Then on the security, station security for commuters and staff. The nature of the problem obviously is that we have a lot of overcrowding, people being pushed during embarking and disembarking, falling in between platforms, train accidents, assault on board or on platforms and being injured at train stations with uneven surfaces or falling from the stairs. And by and large, we also indicate that most of our injuries on duty have largely been attributed to staff being attacked by customers who are invading or invading a paying of fares and so on. The remedies that we are proposing here are that, first of all, we have begun the process of auditing all paragraphs that are not functioning. This is as a result of what has been installed by us as staff, particularly that what was installed by another service provider who were in court with as we speak. The intention is to make sure that all functional, non-functional cameras are replaced by the end of this financial year. So, but the target is really on a high density corridors, which have the biggest impact with respect to safety related matters. We are also expanding the CCTV surveillance in high risk areas. And I must also indicate that there's a pilot that we have begun to implement for onboard sort of safety within our state. And we believe that if that pilot is successfully executed, it will go a long way as well addressing some of the challenges that we have. But on a proactive basis, we have also increased our capacity in respect of KZN by 144 security personnel, 175 for Cape Town. But for Cape Town, it is in addition to other initiatives that we have been implementing. We have also 88 armed guards accompanying a trained crew as well here in Cape Town. The drone sort of a project has also been implemented with some level of success, and we think that properly applied, this can also assist us to roll out as we indicated, as a project at the moment to look into all forms of technology, especially for onboard trains for security. But we are also working closely with the police now. Obviously, there's a scope for improvement here, especially in areas that have been identified as high crime areas or where we are mostly vulnerable. On the matters related to assets related to China, we are happy to record that there is now a significant movement or shift towards more arrest detention. And as a draft can show, we are seeing very more arrests being affected, especially in this financial year. The highest recorded was in August, where effectively we had over 60 people being arrested. But what is also pleasing as well is that the criminal justice system is beginning to rise as people are now giving assist sentences for vandalism and other related crimes. And we think that through this we can start to see more and more people being arrested, and probably this will go a long way to lessening some of the challenges we have been experiencing. We have initiated a number of measures also to improve our communication with our computer. But we recognize that some of the anger or people being displeased with our services is as a result of us being not being able to reach out to them to explain what are some of the challenges that we are experiencing as an organization. So a lot of initiatives are currently being implemented in order to really up the ante in terms of being able to reach out to the various communities. We are now in the process of rolling out an app for the metro, but also to reach out to commuters via SMS and the Go Metro subscribers. We have an update on some of the electronic information displays. This is based on the fact that some of the displays that were erected before were found to be non-functional. So we are correcting for that as well. And this is largely related to sustain engagement with the commuters. On methods addressing the failing of faith, these are some of the pictures that really indicate the state of attack on the state infrastructure. This is not the charter infrastructure, but it's the state infrastructure. What we have found with the training is that there are a lot of contributory factors. The inflammable material that is used, you know, within our case is largely really critical to the speed at which paint gets burnt, and also the ease with which the paint gets burnt. So this is one of the challenges that we want to highlight. The building of trade has had a major financial impact on the organization. As you can see, we have incurred a loss of nearly 636 million in the last 3.5 years. And the biggest contributor to this, obviously, is Western Cape, with a whopping 75%, which is equivalent of 251.61 million. This obviously does not cover damages that have happened in the Cape Town train station of about 150 million. With regard to measures to deal with the train damage, we recognize that the sources or causes of failure are multifaceted, and therefore we believe that we also require multi-pronged strategies in order to address this challenge. As we have indicated, we are now at the level where a proof of concept for projects to look into cameras and sensors is going well. This is really going to assist us in terms of identifying in the first instance who the perpetrators are. And through this mechanism, we can also identify potential people that are responsible for some of the challenges of the train failure. We are working with various intelligence agencies in order really to get a sense why certain events are taking place. For example, we have noted that every time we come to Cape Town to visit on high level visits, there must be a train in one way or the other that is being banned. And we want to understand why, what are the causes behind that. And in this regard, we believe that the time intelligence agencies and state security are beginning to assist us in analyzing those trends, and also to point at what are the risks for the organization. We have also obviously intensified security on some of the identified hotspots, but we believe also that there's a lot that needs to be done in terms of our own security as well. Currently, the mix that we have with regard to security, that 50% is almost internal resources, and about 50% is external resources. So we are looking into how are we deploying these resources appropriately in order to make sure that the staff that we have is effectively utilized, but it's also supervised appropriately. There's also a move to remove what we call combustible material, especially for seeds. What we have identified is that some of the seeds can take less than a minute actually to burn. So, which consequently means that when the whole chain can actually be quite big, and the losses that are coming from that are quite immense. So there is a redesign of some of the sitting in some of the things, especially with respect to where we believe the money. But we are also working with the context to identify other hotspots as well. Not simply only update with regard to other matters. We have been granted a safety permit at the end, this is on the 29th of August this year. And that permit was subject to about 8 special conditions. The first condition related to us actually submitting an HR plan and cost plan. In this regard, we have actually submitted a cost plan, and we have also approved resources, which are about 33 million for what we call mission critical sort of vacancies within the organization. Remember that in the past, CASA has put a program on the filling of vacancies. But we recognize that this is one of those vacancies that must be carried out to put these resources in place. We are now at a stage where the process of filling up those vacancies is underway, and we expect to fill most of them by the end of the program. The issues in relation to condition 2 are about approval from RSR for the deployment of the new register into revenue. Maybe let me explain briefly here. We have about 18 trains, new trains basically, that are being used between Petersburg and Pretoria. But these trains are not used during peak hours. They are used off peak for now. Until such time that the two other parts were agreed as to the manner of deployment. And in fact, this is awaiting a board of inquiry that took place when these trains were first deployed. And that board of inquiry and the findings thereof will assist us in how we can maximize the deployment, but also to avoid the situation where the new trains are also being taught. And I think this is a very important issue. That's why we have agreed to this condition with other parties. Then there's an issue in relation to integrated asset condition assessment report that really deals with the whole range of for asset condition standards. In this regard, we have already submitted the first assessment, the condition assessment report in August as part of our application for the new permit. And we are now updating this information with a view to providing quarterly reports to RFR. And the first quarterly meeting is scheduled to take place in November. So the target date is that this must be submitted by the 1st of March in 2019. However, we are already making strides in order to meet this condition. The fourth condition relates to the maintenance plan that is crafted by engineering. We are also at an advanced stage here, and we believe that we will be on course to meet the target for November 2018. As an initial maintenance plan already been submitted to RFR, but obviously it's subject to revision as indicated by RFR. Condition number five relates to the construction plan. Here really we have already approved the procurement plan for stress, especially for similar buildings. This has already been achieved. And the scope of work has already been submitted for contracting. And maybe we believe that we will also be able to meet this target as a goal. Then condition number six, which was obviously one of the conditions that was important for, you know, the, or what triggered the suspension of or the move to suspend our license, has got two elements. One is the appointment of section manager as per our HR plan. In this regard, we have actually completed the process. For example, in the recent case, the interviews have been completed, and we are now only vetting those people that have been identified as successful. Also, within Gauteng, we have started with the recruitment. And Gauteng is by far the biggest that is impacted by this decision. With regard to KZN, although it is not a requirement, but we are assessing what the measures of section managers would be required. But equally for Western Cape, we have started advertising, and we are on course to also finalize this by the end of January. By the end of November. Then the other issue relates to the counterfeiting of manual train authorization. Again, here it's been a point of dispute, but we have actually provided evidence in terms of how manual authorization is actually counterfeited by a section manager. I think the point of dispute was whether there must be a senior manager that stations in a specific cabin that signs, you know, on a minute by minute basis. And really that's something that we are working on again with the other side. Then the safety improvement plan will also be shared with the regulator at our next quarterly meeting in November. And lastly is a condition eight, which relates to basically the development of the seventh level agreement within different structures of staff. And we believe that we also are on course to meet this requirement. I'll now go straight to update on the preliminary report, which is the last letter from the quarter. In this regard, the board has actually been prioritizing a range of disciplinary that arise from the report of the public protector and other reports. With regard to this, the one from public protector, this has focused largely on the regular contact and the extension of specific contact and other irregularities. Disciplinary processes for this have actually commenced, and in fact, although we don't put a specific date into in terms of when are we going to finish, we expect the process to be expedited as possible. But obviously, within the legal terms of the sort of limit. The next focus that we are looking at is in relation to qualification verification. We are looking at the report that is issued by the SAPA in order to assume matters that arise from that report. Furthermore, we are looking at the report that came from the Auditor General, in particular for 2016, 2017, as well as the 2017 and 2018 financial year. We want to also indicate that there are reports that have been done by National Treasury. These are also earmarked for identifying of the charges, but also to look into who the prosecutor has and the sentencing of those proceedings are supposed to be. The board is also interacting at the level of the head of the office, Dr. Liberia, as well as the Deputy National Director of the Public Prosecution, and also with Dr. Namayute, to see how the investigation of criminal complaints submitted by SAPA can be expanded. And I think this is one of the issues that the chair was alluding to, that probably is something that may need to be discussed later. And lastly, there is an interaction that is taking place at the level of the group CEO to assist the office in particular with all the support that they require with regard to pursuing the cases that have been identified. Yeah. I think from my side, covers all the substantive we wanted to present to the committee. But I would like the chair to conclude.
Thank you, CEO, and thank you, Chair, for of the Portfolio Committee and members. And maybe just to conclude, is to say, as I stated at the beginning, that we are faced with the dual challenge of fixing the business, but at the same time changing and ensuring that it will make us more into the future. And we have picked on modernization as a catalyst that will ensure that passenger travel experience is improved. And this is the right assignment to say that there is a vision we can look towards. There is a future. But there are a lot of stumbling blocks along the way, but our commitment is to make a difference in this regard. We have, through some of the presentations, demonstrated how changing and modernizing this business is not a quick fix. And we also said at the beginning of our presentation that we completely rely on all our stakeholders, internally and externally, to have an appreciation of the plan and to work and support us in implementing this plan. As we said, when we started out, that we have gone on roadshows to interact with staff, and we have seen that there is a good
body of committed people, that we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, and that we should rather develop a new culture of work at Plaza, so that those employees who continue to selflessly and tirelessly render superior performance will be part of the solution rather than being part of the problem. We thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's take a 10-minute comfort break, and then honorable members will start engaging with the presentation.